Well, welcome to church. What a blessing. If you're here for the first time, welcome, huge welcome. And it is Resurrection Sunday. It is a great day to celebrate together and to grab hold of the things that are ours because of this day, this great event in church history, in world history. Love it. Love it. Here's a thought. The resurrection authenticates everything that Jesus said and did, right? Like, it authenticates, it validates everything that Jesus said and did. It gives meaning to it all. I want you to remember a few things this morning. I tell you, this is not a morning to be quiet and passive. That was Friday. We had a beautiful service here on Friday. It was reflective and quiet, but I tell you, that was Friday. Because today is Resurrection Sunday. Today is the most significant date in history. I'm not kidding. It is the most significant date in history. And this day validates every miracle and every teaching that Jesus talked about. Because it was true. It proved all the things that you could get a taste of it when he rose Lazarus from the dead. You get a taste of it when he spoke with such authority. But when he disappeared from a tomb that was sealed and armed, and some angel came in the morning and delivered them, I tell you, it started a revolution. Yeah, right. I said, it started a revolution. Yeah. And you and I are part of that revolution. Thank you, Harry. Yes. Because of the resurrection, all people have access to God's kingdom. Did you know that? Because of the resurrection. Do you remember the Beatitudes that no one is excluded? It said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Like, even the poor, even the meek. Blessed are those who are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the ones who are persecuted. Blessed are you when others treat you badly and persecute you. You know what? There is no barrier to the kingdom of God, even if you feel like you're the lowest of the lows. Even if today was hard to get out of bed, even if today you feel like the whole weight of the world is on you, you are blessed. It is possible for you to enter the kingdom of God and experience the blessing of God. You don't have to be anybody to be part of this kingdom. That's a revolutionary thought. You don't have to have a mindset or think this way or that way. You just have to be a person. And the invitation is to every single person to come into this wonderful kingdom. Therefore, this morning, if you're feeling poor or weak or lowly or depressed or anything like that, it is not a barrier to receiving the blessing of the resurrected Christ. Amen? Because of the resurrection, I got a few of these. Because of the resurrection, anxiety has lost its power. Do you know that? Because of the resurrection. Did you remember Jesus' teaching about worry and pressure in Matthew 6? You know, what to eat, what to wear, how am I going to do this? Well, do you know what Jesus said? He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He said, don't worry. He said, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. There'll be more anxieties tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Today, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. That means food and clothing and all the stuff of life. You don't have to worry about your superannuation. Have you got enough? You don't have to worry about, can you afford a house? Can I afford to rent? Seek first. This is a radical shift in how to live anxiety-free. Isn't that good? That's the good news. Because of the resurrection, you don't need to have an anxiety. Because of the resurrection, God gives good things to those who ask him. Did you hear that? He gives good things to those who ask him. Do you remember the teaching in Matthew 7? He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Do you know what those words mean? They actually mean keep on asking. Like the in the original language, it's continuous. All right? Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking and it will open for you. It means to not be passive about your prayer. It means not to kind of put up with things that maybe aren't quite right, but keep going. Therefore, what are you waiting for? It says in verse 8, for everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened to you. What do you need right now? What justice is pressing down on you? What anxiety, what pressure, what doors do you need to open? Because of the resurrection, these things are yours. This is a powerful, powerful day. These kids are having fun next door too. Number 4, because of the resurrection, there is victory over sickness and death. Is that good news for anyone this morning? Sickness and death. Anyone have experienced the impact of sickness and muscular and body and the things that go on inside of, well, do you remember the story in Matthew 9? Like 3 people get healed as Jesus is walking along. There's this woman who came and kind of attacked Jesus, and instantly she was healed from internal bleeding. And then Jesus went and raised a little girl from the dead. And then he healed 2 blind people just as he walked along. Like healing is flowing out of him now. Now, because of the resurrection, it authenticates all those things for now. Like we get a taste of it when we read through the Gospels, but the reality is now. And then in Matthew 15, let me read it for you. Jesus went on from there, walked beside the Sea of Galilee, and he went up there on the mountain and sat down. And great crowds came to him, bringing them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. See, Jesus was surrounded by people of need. There's no hospital system, really. There's no kind of long-term care. If you're sick, you're out of work, you get in trouble. But what did Jesus do? He healed them so that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. That's a taste of what was to come. The presence of the kingdom of God amongst us came. Got to step it, but because of the resurrection, that's now opened up. Maybe that's for you today. Maybe you just need to stare down some healing, some power. Sickness and death, therefore, your days are numbered. It's feeling quiet in here. This is good news. This is the reality of the resurrection. Not just in the future, yeah, when I die, I might go to be with Jesus. This is the reality for life now. This is what Jesus has purchased for us. Because of the resurrection, petty legalism can't get in the road of Jesus' power. Do you remember the time when they tested Jesus again and again on the Sabbath, on the day where you're not supposed to do anything? And Jesus walked into the synagogue and they set him up as a trap, and there was a man with a hand, and he said to them in Matthew 12, which one of you has a sheep, and if he falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more value is a man than a sheep? So, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy like the other. Stares down a legal system that kind of put God aside. We can do that too. But because of the resurrection, we have the power to overcome Maybe there's things in our world that people say, don't do that. Don't speak that. Don't talk about Jesus in this place. Don't mention that. Don't. But actually, we have the power and the authority to do good. So therefore, let's do good all the time. Whether it's culturally acceptable or legally acceptable, let's be a community of people that does good because of the resurrection. Be bold. I got to keep going. Because of the resurrection, number six, the kingdom of God will advance despite any opposition. Do you remember the teaching when Jesus says in Matthew 13, great crowds gathered around, there's a whole boat, and the crowd stood on the beach, and he started talking about the parables of the kingdom. Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, the seed, and the mustard seed. Essentially, all these parables talk about the kingdom that starts tiny. It starts like it's the smallest seed, but it grows into the mightiest tree. He said, that's a picture of the kingdom. When Jesus came, and it's like his own body was sowed in the ground and like the tiniest person, but now, 2,000 years later on, this mighty tree called the worldwide church is massive, and it brings blessing and healing and life throughout the world. That's a picture of the kingdom because of the resurrection. So don't despise small things. Therefore, if it starts small, the kingdom of God will come in fullness. Think the little gifts, the little acts that you do are like a small seed. When you bless somebody, when you feed somebody, when you look after somebody, when you just speak a kind word, they're like seeds. But they have kingdom fruit because they produce this beautiful tree of the kingdom of God. I like this one. Because of the resurrection, earthly limitation is finished. I said earthly limitation is finished. The things that we think are infinite in Jesus' eyes. Do you remember the two accounts in Matthew of feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000? I mean, it's ridiculous. And they were only counting men. Sorry, ladies. It's just the way they did things back then. So when you added up women and children, it's like there's probably 10,000 people there. And Jesus tests his disciples and said, well, why don't you feed them all? Like, oh, we've only got a few loaves. We've only got a few fish. And it's almost the exasperation. I feel like Jesus says, well, bring them to me. Let's start feeding. Let's start. And there were 12 basketfuls left over. And then there were 7 basketfuls left over from the 4,000. Like miraculous, supernatural provision. Do you remember that? That because of the resurrection, Jesus is foretasting an exponential ability to not live in finite world that we have, but infinite world of the kingdom. Therefore, be strong in faith for your provision. Be strong, pray, seek what God would want. All right, because of the resurrection, the demonic world is stripped of its power. It's gone because of the resurrection. Now, there is a demonic world. There is. You'd be crazy not to acknowledge it. I mean, there is evil in our world. Like people sometimes get things wrong and are crazy, but there's demonic influence too, okay? There really is. You see it on a worldwide scale in wars. You see it in the way some people treat each other. You see it just in the things that are said and done. There's a demonic influence that wants to rip apart the souls of people. There's a demonic influence that wants to steal, kill, and destroy, is what John 10 says. But I'll tell you, because of the resurrection, that's finished. Though we kind of have this sort of after effects of a war that was kind of fading out, the resurrection puts a nail in that coffin because of the resurrection. Now, Jesus, in Matthew, we read this month, 3 times Matthew delivered people from demonic influence. Do you remember Matthew 17? He said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures and suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire and often in the water. See, that's the impact of someone who's got a demon, a demonic oppression, who's trying to kill this person. And Jesus rebuked the demon in verse 18. And it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Let's stare down enemy influence. Let's fight against the things that push against us. Let's recognize, hey, that's not right. You're not supposed to be acting like that. Be gone in Jesus' name. You and I can deliver people in Jesus' name. Demonic oppression is as real today as it was back then. It just masquerades differently. Because of the resurrection, number 9, the lost are found. The lost are found. Jesus came seeking the lost. You think, what is the lost? The lost are the people who just, they fell off the system. They couldn't find their way. It was too hard to find the way to worship God. So this group of people, of God's people, the Israelites, were called the lost. Like, they didn't go to church anymore. They couldn't handle a synagogue. They couldn't do all the rules required back in those times. And they kind of fell off, and they started hanging out with other people. And guess where Jesus spent most of his time? With the lost, hanging out with the crazies and the people who were just disconnected from mainstream society. He would spend time with the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the sinners. He'd eat with them, which was astonishing to that era. You only eat with proper people. Oh, goodness, what are you doing eating for those? So he's constantly accused of eating with the wrong crowd, hanging with the wrong crowd. But because of the resurrection, I tell you, the lost are found. Do you remember the story in Matthew 18? He says, what do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray? Does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say, he rejoices over it more than the 99 that never went astray. So it is the will of my Father that none of these should perish. See, Jesus is saying, I have come to look for those who haven't quite got it together. Is that good news for anyone? Yep. I tell you, it's good news for me. Is it good news for any of your neighbors? Good news for any of your family? Good news for anyone who just feels like, I can't do this anymore. I can't be good. It's not in me anymore. That they're the very person that Jesus is coming to help. So let's do likewise. Even when it's not the done thing, even when it's like against us, let's not hold back. Number 10. I got 12 because 12 is a cool number. Number 10. Because of the resurrection, there is a wedding feast ahead. A feast, an end of the age. Because of the resurrection, do you remember Jesus' teaching? Matthew 22. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, the wedding feast is ready, but those invited are not worthy. He's talking to the religious crowd. He says, they're not ready. Go into the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you can find. And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. This is a picture of the grace and the generosity of God. His original family kind of rejected God. He says, well, I've got this feast ready and no one's coming. Go out. Go out and find and gather anyone in who'll come. And sit, and the wedding feast was full. It's talking about the end of the age. When God comes to make all things new, there is going to be a feast and a party that will go on for a few years, an eternity. And you and I, and anyone who follows Christ, will be part of that table. We'll be feasting and eating and drinking and ruling and reigning with Christ. Because of the resurrection, you and I are invited into that space. You don't need to kind of live just a mediocre life. You can live this beautiful life with Christ. Because of the resurrection, number 11, religion just got frightfully simple. Religion gets simple. I don't know if you've studied world religions, but they're complex. Like really complex. A complex set of laws, complex set of things you do and don't do, and times when you do them, and things to say, things to do, and hours to do this, and pray here, and do this, and do that. And that's what it was like with when Jesus came to the Jews who had sort of taken all these extra laws, and that's why there was such a strict system of life and an order that you had to follow. Jesus says, look, let's just make this really simple. Really simple. Do you remember what he said in Matthew 22? When the religious leaders came to test him, he said, which is the most important law? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You can do that, love God. That's the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. It's like the Old Testament, that much of the Bible. Jesus just summarized that whole thing. Love God, your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor. I reckon I can have a good go at that. How simple is that? How beautifully refreshing is that? Because of the resurrection, Jesus just simplified and fulfilled all those other laws. So he said, just go and love God and love people. And that's how you do life. It's possible. So let's go. Let's do that. And finally, this is my favorite. Because of the resurrection, the church is born and commissioned. Right at the end of Matthew, right after we see this resurrection story in Matthew 28, is this beautiful commissioning. He said to his disciples, he said, Jesus came and said to them, all authority, let's get the musos up here. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. He said, this is what I want you to do. He says, right at the end. He's died, he's risen again, and before he returns back to the Father in the ascension, he says, come here. Let me tell you what to do next. Let me show you the next thing. He said, simply just go into all the world. Go in the world and make disciples of all nations. See, all nations, all people. This is what you got to do. Just baptize them. Like when people choose to follow Christ, just baptize them. And then just teach them how to follow me. That's it. Guess what the church has done in all its imperfect glory? It has gone into all the world. It's still going into all the world. It's amazing. Like 2,000 years ago, just this little huddle of 12, then 100, then a few thousand, and then a few million, and then geographically it spread from the Middle East right through Europe and Asia and Africa and everywhere else in between and the Americas. You see, this commission, this great commission is what you and I are wrapped up. Because the resurrection is actually possible to fulfill this. He's not giving us something that's impossible or out there. He says, no, you can do it because, he says, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Right now, he's with us. And next month, we're going to look at Acts and just follow the kind of the starting point of the church and how it expands and takes ground and triggers something, a worldwide revolution. This morning is not a small morning. It's not just a day, oh yeah, Jesus rose from the dead, that's good. Let's have an Easter egg. this. The world history pivots on this day. The center of humanity, the center of history, and the birth of the church, and the very thing that you and I are part of and called into. I can't think of living for anything grander, anything bigger. I can't think of anything to join that's going to be that fast, that audacious. I can't think of a way to live that's this right and this pure and this makes sense. It all makes sense. And the more I get into it, the more I think this is incredible. And the more I love Jesus, the more I want to love Jesus. It's like, but maybe you're on the edge this morning. Maybe I don't even believe this stuff. Or maybe you're thinking, yeah, I've heard this before. Jesus, it's just a good story. It's just a myth. It's just been propagated. You know, it's just a Western way to live. But I tell you, when you've met the risen Christ, it changes you. When you've met Jesus and had an encounter with Him, everything is different. Maybe you've tried it before, or maybe you're just on the edge, but this morning I tell you, the greatest thing that you could do on Resurrection Sunday is to say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to take up my cross and set down the road after you. I want to give my heart to you. I want to be like you. I want to follow you and take up your commission to go into all the world and share this incredible news. I want you to stand this morning. We're going to make a declaration. We're going to say to Jesus that we are following Him. It's not a passive thing. It's not just a coming to church. It's a life of discipleship, of just following this incredible, incredible God. Jesus. We're going to sing a song in a minute. Just going to praise and lift the roof with this anthem. But before we do that, if you're here this morning and you want to follow Christ, whether you've never done it before or you kind of have tried it before, but if you know that you're not right now in the middle of following Jesus, in this song, come down the front, make a declaration to Jesus that I'm going to follow, I'm going to pursue you for the rest of my life. I'm going to make your mission my mission because of the resurrection. It's possible. Because He gives us the same power that He had when He rose from the dead. He gives us the ability to do all that He did because of resurrection.